Diamond Niners Weekly for week 10 of the 2024 season. This is Nick, joined as always by Kevin.
What's up, Niner Nation?
And producer Brad, making it all go behind the scenes.
Hey.
All right, boys, we got another week of Niner baseball in the books. Quite a few things to talk about. First of all, though, we need to start where we always start, Kevin. We need the masses demand their weekly Concord A's 12U travel ball update. What you got for us?
Had another tournament this weekend in Charlotte area, Queen City Select, I believe it was called. A lot of teams from out of state came to the tournament, and Concord A's, we were the sixth seed after pool play, and we lost in the first round of the bracket play. So we played well, though, but we've had some good competition, and we did beat the On Deck O's. That was a good victory for our guys. But just we got this weekend off. I know the parents and everyone's looking forward to that weekend off. So we'll be hitting the road back in 2 weeks. We'll be doing some more baseball.
Are there any of these tournaments that aren't named something elite, select? I mean, when is there a tournament? When is the unselect tournament?
Non-elite?
Yeah, the regular, you know, Queen City Classic regular edition.
Or Queen City Select below average.
the Queen City Mediocre Invitational.
I know Colby Bruce is coaching with the On Deck O's and stuff, and he's coaching one age group below ours. So I was looking for him this weekend, but they were at different venues. Wanted to see Coach Bruce in action a little bit, but didn't get an opportunity to see old Jukebox Hero.
Yeah, I was going to say, just follow the sound of Jukebox Hero. You'll find Colby.
That's right. Yeah, maybe I'll catch up with him in another tournament.
Yeah. So, okay, there's your weekly Concord A's 12U elite above average classic standard update. So, there you go. A couple shout-outs. We hear for some folks. Kevin, you're going to love this. I just learned this one today. First of all, want to say hello to our guy Lee up in Canton, who's always listening. And as always, providing feedback behind the scenes about various things that we do right and wrong. So we appreciate that, Lee. But our guy, Thomas, I just heard this one today, Kevin. Thomas has a really bad commute on I-77. As a former resident of Cornelius, you know what that's like. And Thomas let me know that we're what gets him through his commute on I-77. So look at it this way, Kevin. Between a commute on I-77 and us, we're better.
Well, that's saying a lot, man. That's saying a lot, because that commute was brutal when I lived in Cornelius. And I know it's they opened some toll lanes in that since then, but it's got to be better now, right?
Yeah, sure. And when they build the red line, the choo-choo train all the way up to Mooresville or whatever they're going to do, I'm sure everybody will just abandon their cars and pile on the train and ride into town. And there'll probably be no one on 77.
I'll tell you what, when I lived there for a while, I did take the express bus from the, 77 Express. And that was great because I could read, do what I wanted to on my commute in. And,
listen to podcasts.
Listen to podcasts. But I didn't know what podcasts were until I was on one. So I didn't know what podcasts were. So
yeah, this was before that.
I would read. So I would do something a little more productive, I guess. I'd read or do something. But anyway, public transit, I enjoy it. I enjoyed it in the past. So I'm always in favor of it.
Yeah, so shout out to Thomas while you're out there on I-77. You know. Best of luck to you. Godspeed. So first of all, it's Thursday. We usually record this on Monday. there was I'm the reason that we didn't record on Monday, because there was an event at the university that my wife and I were at. We did not recording on Monday is my fault. The boys played in Clemson on Tuesday, which we'll talk about that. And then Wednesday, Kevin, I think maybe you have baseball practice, and also the Niner gals were playing. And so we were paying attention to that. And this was just the first day we could do it. So it's Thursday. We're well behind schedule. We appreciate everybody's patience, but nonetheless, here we are doing our thing on a Thursday night. So this past weekend, Niners were in Greenville, which, you know, one of the things that we were looking forward to about being in the AAC was having an in-state competitor to go back and forth with. And, this has been, I think, guys, I don't know what y'all are seeing out there, but if you're seeing what I'm seeing, I feel like the online banter between the fan bases is pretty good. Whether or not the Pirate faithful want to admit that they care about us, they do, because they show up in the comment sections of various tweets that have nothing to do with the Pirates, and they show up there and they comment, and then if you accuse them of following us, no, we don't care, and that it's just that fan stuff, right? That's what fans do online. They pretend like they don't care about anybody else, but yet they also troll them. I certainly don't do that. I don't troll anyone on, on Twitter or anything else like that, especially not opposing teams. But, I think overall I know the season's not over, but we've had a football game against East Carolina. We've had home and home basketball, and now we've had a baseball series. So, we've sort of had one complete year, or almost one complete year of competition against the Pirates. And I give it an overall favorable review. I'm not talking like wins and losses or anything, although we got some nice wins, particularly on their homecoming football. But I think it's going to be a great thing.
Yeah, unfortunately, everything's been in Greenville except for that home game in basketball. But we went to Greenville in football, went to Greenville in baseball, went to Greenville in softball. So now next year, everybody's coming to Charlotte. So we're going to have a lot of Purple Pirates coming to visit the Queen City in 2024-25.
No, we're not, Kevin. They are not coming to visit the Queen City. They live here.
The players are coming to visit.
The players are coming to visit, but their fans are coming from Mint Hill and Pineville and Harrisburg.
But I think we got one more. I think we got at least one more game against the Pirates, and I think in that AAC tournament, I think we're going to match up against them.
Is that a prediction?
That is a prediction. Hopefully, it's a championship game. I'm hoping to see that. That would be a great way to. That'd be a great baseball game, don't you think?
I'm on board with it. I'm here for that. If we're playing in the AAC championship game, I don't care who we're playing, honestly. Right. So it's good. I think it has. I would have. I think we maybe said this on the last show, but I think they would have been wise to stagger football and baseball to where either if we were going to play there in football this year, then we should have played baseball here or vice versa. Because home and home basketball is home and home, which works, but just break it up a little bit. So next year, everything was in Greenville this year. Now this next year, everything's in Charlotte. I don't know how that went down or how those discussions take place, but smarter people than us, I'm sure, are making those decisions.
Much smarter, much smarter.
Well, we hope, we hope they are. The weekend. What were you about to say? That bar's pretty low.
Bar's pretty low.
Yeah, it is. Bar's pretty low. The weekend. What can you say about it? Friday night. Trey Savage, he's he's on his way to an All-American season, you know, and a high-level draft pick. And on Friday night, he was everything that we would expect him to be. And the Niners just didn't have the Niners didn't have a blessed answer for him. Not one single answer. Got both run ruled and no hit on Friday night. So, what can you say about that, Kevin?
Not much to say about that. That I want to revisit, but I'll move on to Saturday. Saturday's game was a little better. We had, I think we had opportunities in that game. Just made a couple of mental errors, and they took advantage. They took advantage of our mistakes, and we lost 5-1 on Saturday. I thought we had a good effort on the mound. Like I said, we got a razor thin line on our squad between being successful and losing. And then when you're playing a good team like that, or a top 10 ranked team, you make mental mistakes, they're going to take advantage of it. And, unfortunately, that's the way it is, and we got our team is a little inexperienced at the D1 level this year, but they are learning, they're growing, and
you didn't just go learning and growing on us, did you, Kevin?
I immediately regretted saying that.
Don't you blaspheme in here, Kevin?
I'm sorry.
Don't you bring Ron Sanchez into this?
Well, yes, I'm sorry. We didn't do any learning and growing, but we did. We were there. We were in that game. We were in that game on Saturday.
To your point, I mean, we took at least one run off the board ourselves with base running, and then with defensive miscues, we put another three on the board. So there's four runs right there. You lose by four. And you took one run off the board for yourself, and you gave them three, and you lose by four. Well, you know, there's your margin. And you know, this team is, I think that's what you're talking about. To your point, is they're learning to win. They're having to learn to win, because in years past, when you've got the kind of offensive production that we had, I see you wearing your Asheville Tourist hat. Cam Fisher hit three home runs in a minor league game last night. Well, last year he was doing that, but he was doing it for us. You're losing that kind of production out of your lineup, your margins are going to get thinner. You can't just, we gave away four runs. Well, we'll just score six and make up for it. You know, it's hard to do that. We got away with that a lot with the kind of firepower we've had in the lineup, but right now we aren't in position to do that. And it's not the first time it's bit us, you know, let's just be honest. As a segue, into Sunday, Two things, there's kind of two themes, I think, about this season. One, at times, like we just discussed, we get in our own way, and we sometimes have a hard time getting out of our own way. But the other theme, which I think is a positive one, is that this team has been incredibly resilient. I don't get any sense that they're hanging their heads or just like, you know, oh, well, I guess we just can't do it. Because on Sunday – Sunday might be so far my favorite game of the season, just not only for the circumstances under which it was played, but the way the guys, they led, they fell behind, they came back, and they won.
They won on the road against the top 10. Yeah, they won on a road against the top 10 opponent, and that's very hard to do. We forget. I mean, they are ECU, but they're ranked in the top 10 for a reason. They've got two Golden Spikes candidates
on yep.
Friday and Saturday.
The Savage and Root, yep.
So they are a good team. They're a really good team, top 10. And coming off of Friday, I didn't know what to expect. Friday, they could have easily hung their heads, but they battled back in the series. And even in the ninth inning, we come back in the ninth inning with a grand slam, Carson Bain, and get that win. We keep the haven't been swept streak alive as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the first time we've won at ECU since 2017. To put mm-hmm. things in perspective, you know, it's been a long time. So, something to hang our hat on from the weekend. And I agree with you on those points. They didn't sulk. I wasn't in the dugout, obviously, but you could tell by watching the game and listening to Joe that they're going to fight to the end, and that's a good quality to have.
Here's a stat for you, Kevin, and Joe would need to fact check this for us, but I think I got this right. The Charlotte 49ers baseball program has 12 top 10 wins all time. Okay, so 45-ish years worth of history, and 12 top 10 wins, and six of them have occurred in the last 4 years. So half the program's top 10 wins have come in the last 4 years.
That's impressive. I mean, we talk about our scheduling all the time. We have a tough schedule. And then you're going to play games like this, and to be in games like that is very telling of where the program's going.
So the good and bad of the weekend, okay? The East Carolina's baseball program is easily the stick. Well, it's the stick that everybody in the AAC measures against. It's certainly the stick that we measure against. If you're going to win, if you're going to be the best team in the AAC, you're going to have to go through them. Everybody knows that. But you know, there are some things like, the guys in the production truck in Greenville, Friday night, we did not need a pitch by pitch update on your barbecue contest. We did not need to see between every pitch them delivering hogs. I'm a barbecue guy. God knows I love whole hog barbecue. Okay, I was raised on whole hog barbecue. But either show the game or show the barbecue. Make up your mind. Okay, I don't get that. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know who's in charge of that, but they were just eating that stuff up. Okay, just it's like, geez, can we just watch the game? I mean, on every pitch, Kevin.
I know.
They're dropping off pigs. Okay, I got it. Show it to me, but then you move on. Whatever. On the other hand, if you are not doing this, when you watch the road games, I use my phone for it. I have a Bluetooth speaker I'll hook it into. Listen to Joe Templin during the broadcast. Mute your TV and listen to Joe Templin. Because Joe Templin was in rare form this weekend. Angry Joe Templin is the best Joe Templin. And when some of these umpire hijinks went down, it was awesome.
Yeah, I did enjoy it. That was the highlight of Saturday, was listening to Joe. Sometimes it takes a little coordinating, pausing the phone, pausing the radio or whatever. But to hook it up, exactly right. But, it's so much better experience listening to Joe and muting the TV. But, especially on that play at first base where the old first base ump tried to set a pick on our second baseman to allow
– Matthew Schaefer, I think, is Blue's name.
I wasn't going to call him out by name, but it did have an effect later in the series because ECU laid down a bunt. We go to cover first base, but the umpire's in the way. Sets a pick, so we don't make the throw to first. Everybody's safe because the umpire sets a pick on our second baseman. And that ended up, and that continued a big inning. That continued a big inning on for them on
that was on Friday. Now that Friday. It's Saturday when Woody got thrown out when Schaefer was behind home plate.
Oh,
yeah. The argument started on Friday and continued on Saturday because Schaefer was behind home plate and Woody got run when there was a 3-2 count and the pitch was a strike. I mean, TrackMan even shows it's a strike. It was a strike. And they end up going on Saturday. They end up having a big inning. And bringing some runs across the plate after we should have been in the dugout because it was a strike. But hey,
yeah, what do I know? Well, he did get fired up. He got fired up on that play. You hear it mounting, and then all of a sudden he's let it go for a little bit. And I was there for that. It was good.
Chase Carson. That needed that strike three call and didn't get it. But hey, what do we say on this show all the time? If you put yourself in a position to get screwed over by Blue, you're probably going to get screwed over.
That's what I tell my 12-year-old all the time.
Yeah.
Don't put your faith in the umpire's hands. Anyway, it was we did miss one game. We had a midweek last week. I wanted to mention we played A&T at the Hayes on Tuesday last week. Got a big win over the Aggies 10-2. We had lots of offense going.
That's where Carson Bain kind of got going.
Yeah, and Miles Langhorne on the mound, he got the midweek start, and he looked really good against the Aggies. Let's see. They didn't help themselves out. They made quite a few fielding errors, and we took advantage of it and put up a sixth spot in the fourth and cruised to a 10-2 win. But that was a good victory on the midweek before leading up to this ECU series, and then of course we're recording this on Thursday, so we've had our midweek at Clemson, another top 10 ranked team. So we played four games against top 10 teams in
a row,
6 days or 5 days,
yeah,
6 days.
The Sunday game against ECU obviously worked out to our favor, and I mean ended up winning 8-7. Of course, the big play where if there's a call out there on Twitter, go find it if you haven't heard it, of the Joe Templin's call of the Carson Bain grand slam. I have to confess, I did not hear Joe's call in real time because I had the TV on and I had him streaming through my phone, and Joe, I hadn't even tried to sync him. TV was about a pitch ahead. So by the time Joe was making the call of that grand slam, I was already yelling in my living room. And so I didn't hear Joe at all in real time. I had to wait until they put it out, but it was worth the wait because it was fantastic. But yeah, that was good stuff. And then some of the, you know, some of the reaction online after that game was fun as well. You know, Kevin, there's a lot of people in this world that can dish it, but they can't take it. And, right. I mean, that's just a lot of people. They can dish it, but they can't take it. And, you know,
right.
We had a little bit of fun.
Some people don't know how to act, but, especially online, online, but it's always fun to go through your notifications after a win like that.
On Saturday, it was me. I on the Diamond Niner Report account got accused of being Coach Woodard's burner account. So I played along, and said, yeah, it's absolutely. How'd you figure it out? Smartest pirate of them all right there. You got me. And, so we had some fun with that. And, we may have quote tweeted the final score from the ECU account and referred to them as UNC Eastern. I don't know, you know, there's some hijinks going on.
You know, they love to refer to us as UNC Concord, and, they just don't understand.
App and ECU, UNC Concord. I don't get that slight at all because, you know, you live in Concord. I live in Kannapolis. Concord and Cabarrus County are more prosperous than either one of those counties ever thought about being. Eli Lilly is building a $1 billion facility in Concord, North Carolina right now, just down the road from us. You could buy Pitt County for $1 billion and probably get change back. So I don't understand why they think Concord is some kind of insult when it's a prosperous area. But okay, if that's your insult, that's what you got. Okay, appreciate it. You know, I just whatever. Just whatever.
It is what it is. So it's good to have a conference made in our state.
Yeah. Oh, I hope it reaches hate levels.
You're doing your best to help that out.
Well, remember when we talked about last season, we talked to Eric McKibben, and he said that Sam Gress on the softball team, and he identified Anthony Cassiola on the baseball team as they lift with, like, he talked about Sam lifting with hate in her heart. And I said, you know, I've been told I podcast that way.
It's good to be, when we went to the regional, in 21, and their fans are really nice to us. Their pat is on the back. You know, it's, you don't want that. You want to be disliked. You want to be a threat. You want to
absolutely
be a threat.
And I will say, I want to be clear. There's several different types. All fan bases are this way, but ECU baseball is really easy to segment. There's the people that sit in the stands, which for the most part are they just like good baseball and they're nice folks. Then there's their online contingent, which half of them aren't even using their real names anyway, which we never do that. You can find out who we are. You can click on our bio and there's our link to our personal accounts. So we aren't hiding. Okay. We don't have a fake name so that we can troll people. We troll people with our, you know, you can find out who we are and don't care. And then there's the people in the jungle. And that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, there's certainly some bad apples out there. And I will leave it at that. If I was a college student, I would enjoy that type of atmosphere for a baseball game. I would enjoy being out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they are also there. End of statement.
All right. So we fall in the series 2-1 to ECU.
Yeah.
Then we turn around, have to go on the road again to a top five ranked Clemson team. And you had a special opportunity through the first pitch dinner auction. You guys you had an opportunity to ride on the bus down to Clemson with the team.
Yeah, I'm so sure.
Several stories, some of which you cannot say on the air, and some you can, but I'm sure you can share a few with us now.
No, it's I don't really have anything that we can't share. If we pulled the upset in Clemson, I might would. But you know what I want to start by saying is that at shout out to my guy Jeff Nisbet. He bought this at the first pitch banquet. Jeff Nisbet, Jeff Bridgman, Tony Puvey, and he invited me, the four of us rode the bus to Clemson on Friday. I'm sorry, on Tuesday. And this was a really, really cool opportunity. I'd never done anything like this before. What you find out, I think, Kevin, I mean, you and I, how many college baseball games have we watched over the years? You know, that number is, you know, it's a big number. But this is the first one I've ever watched, like soup to nuts, like getting on the bus, getting off the bus kind of thing. The logistics and the organization that it takes to pull that off, you cannot help but be impressed with that. It is a big, big operation. And all I saw was one weekday game. There were no airplanes involved. There were no hotels involved. So the logistics aspect of that is just unbelievably impressive. You know, and just, we left at when I got there about, 10 after 11 or so, 11 a.m., that the bus was already loaded. So Ethan and his crew, Ethan Kurtz, head manager, had already been out there and they had loaded things up. Players are involved in that process as well. And we were getting on the bus and leaving by 11:30, riding down there to Clemson. We get off the bus at the stadium. Clemson is already on the field. You know, it's 2-something in the afternoon and they're already there out there on the field. We go down in the dugout. Everybody's got their thing. They're getting set up. You know, I got to watch this might be one of my, this might be the low, my low key favorite moment, of the whole thing, Kevin. When a guy performs above and beyond and is sort of quote unquote player of the game, what do they get as a result of that? What does Woody hand out in the dugout after the game?
Oh, the lineup card.
And we've talked about this. Tyler Simmons is the guy that makes those lineup cards, and he's got really, really good. He has a method to his madness. I sat down beside Tyler and watched him make the lineup card. And that was low-key really cool because, you know, we've seen these things. Some of them are framed from various wins and are up in the baseball offices. I sat there and watched him create one, and that was really cool. What I will say is we were in the dugout, watched BP, watched in and out, watched all of it until it was getting closer, basically until the gates opened in the stadium, and then we left and we went up and found a place to camp out, watch the game. And then, you know, when the game was over, we got back on the bus with the team, shared in the team meal. You know, it was really cool. So what I would say to anybody that's watching or listening, if you ever have a chance to bid on something like this, it's worth it. Totally worth it. It will give you a new perspective and a new appreciation of what these guys do. You know, just to see what the effort required, the logistical support required to pull off one game. Never mind that these guys are also in class, and taking college coursework at the same time. Really just a neat day. You know, the game itself didn't work out the way we obviously would like it to have worked out. Although we can talk about that in a second, Kevin. I mean, we we could have won that game. We could have won that game. The last thing I want to say about the trip in general is shout out to Don Nemo, head athletic trainer. There was kind of a scary moment in that game. Clemson needs to extend their foul netting. Okay, their foul territory netting. The netting at Clemson ends at the beginning of the dugouts, and the seating continues on. And, you know, let's not pretend like they don't have the money to do that. You know, maybe take some of that money that they're spending on legal fees to sue the ACC so they can join the SEC and maybe extend the netting. Because on the third base side with left-handed batter up, foul ball, a laser beam got hit into the stands. And I was not too far away. I was close enough that I could hear this baseball. Ultimately, I later found out it hit a woman, a spectator, Clemson fan, I do believe she was wearing purple, hit a woman square in the chest, ricocheted off of her chest, and hit the woman beside her in the eye socket. This was not a glancing blow. These were direct. This was direct. Okay. I mean, it was scary. The whole place went, the game stopped. Everybody knew that, like, whoa. Okay. Well, I'm kind of looking up there and I'm like, what is, you know, is somebody going to help this woman? I'm assuming one person got hit at that time. I later found out that it was two. I'm like, is somebody going to help this woman? What's going to happen? And event staffs just kind of, they're kind of looking, but they're kind of, well, the next thing I know, there's somebody up there attending to the fan, and it's Donna Nemo, our head athletic trainer. I don't even know how she got up there that fast.
The visiting athletic trainer.
Sorry?
The visiting athletic trainer.
The visiting athletic trainer. You know, we talked a few weeks ago during the FAU series about the player that wound up, their center fielder, that wound up in an ugly play and laid on the field for what felt like ever. And then their people finally kind of walked up. And I said, I believe I said it on this show, that Donna Nemo would have been in a sprint. As soon as that happened, Donna would have been in a sprint. Well, on Tuesday night, this is a spectator in the stands. I don't even know how she got up there that fast. But there's Donna in the stands administering first aid to a spectator that's been hit in the chest by a laser beam of a foul ball and a lady that's been hit in the eye socket, I later found out. I talked to Donna after the game, and I said, Donna, I just have one question. How did you get up there that fast? She says, well, I started kind of moving that direction when it happened, but I looked – she said she made eye contact with Woody, and Woody said, Donna. And when Woody said Donna, she just took off. And, you know, heads up, coordination and communication between our head coach and our head athletic trainer. But one, that was scary. And here's the even scarier part. Talking to one of the event staff after the game, the guy said, yeah, that's crazy. That's the second time that's happened this week.
Yeah.
Hey, Clemson?
Man. There might be some lawsuits.
Well, I guess they're fine because your ticket says that, right? And they have signs up that say, you know, beware of
the foul ball.
Yeah. But still, just put a net up.
Yeah. And, you know, when Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball, when they did that, I was like, you know, is that going to take away from the game? And I was kind of worried about that, but it hasn't. It hasn't taken away from the game. I think it's made it better. Fans are still able to interact with players. Fans are still able to catch foul balls at a much slower rate than they would have in the past.
Balls coming in vertically.
Yeah.
So not on a plane.
Yeah. And I think it's been good for baseball that put the nets up throughout the professional level and the college level.
I think it's time for Clemson to think about extending those nets. It's just an idea. Yeah. It's just a thought.
Yeah.
Because that's eventually not going to end well. I mean, I don't know that it ended well this time. I mean, the lady that got hit in the eye, I think, was hauled off on a stretcher by the paramedics. So, I don't know. The game itself, Kevin, you and I were talking about this the next day. You know, it was a case of missed opportunities. Miles Langhorne got the start, and you mentioned the job that he did last week against A&T. He really made an impressive start, and he was off to an impressive start here again. First inning went well enough for him, and the second inning was going well enough. He had one out, two on, and a ball got hit up the middle, which Dante DeFranco was well on his way over to cover second. That ball was going to – Dante was going to field that ball, step on second, throw to first, and we were going back to the dugout with no runs scored by Clemson. Instead, and this is just kind of the way it's gone at certain times this year, that ball hits Miles. I don't know if it hit him I didn't ask him, but it kind of looked like it hit him in the butt. If not the butt, the upper thigh, it hits him. He winds up on the ground, and no outs are recorded, which, you know, I'm sure if you ask Miles if he would rather have not been hit by that ball, he would say, yes, I think that would be preferable. But just luck of the draw, he gets hit by the ball. He winds up on the ground. Don and Woody come out and check on him, but double play. If that ball misses him, we turn a double play, highly likely. And we go back to the dugout with an early lead because we already had a 2-0 lead at that point.
Yeah, we had back-to-back homers in the second with Birch and Bain.
Yeah.
Back-to-back.
And I saw instead six runs come across. And you know, more had to happen, obviously, than that play, but that started it. And as the coaching staff is fond of saying, or at least you hear him say it on the regular, that stress creates stress. When things are going well, you stay loose, you're doing fine. Miles stayed in the game. I don't know if he had lingering after effects of getting hit by the ball. It certainly did not feel good, I'm sure. But you know, now all of a sudden you're in a pressure situation and the whole dynamic changes. And instead of it being 2-0 with us going to bat in the top of the third, it winds up being 6-2 with us going to bat in the top of the third. And, you know, you lose the game, you lose the game by three, and those six runs come across.
Right. And we bounced back and scored two in the third after that, but and they had put up a six spot, and that was enough. That was enough to win the game, unfortunately. this is how it goes sometimes. That's how the breaks go. That ball had to affect Miles' performance right after that. I mean, he was kind of cruising, and then things kind of fell apart for him, and. That had to have an effect on him. But then Cam Hansen came in relief and pitched great. It's good to see him go extended period of time. I think what, five and two thirds.
Five and a third, one earned run.
Yeah, so he had a pretty good outing on the day. Good to see him back. I mean, that's a top 10 team. That's a top 10 offense in the country. Good to see us pitching well against those guys. But unfortunately, couldn't get the victory. But another tough road game, another tough road opponent. I don't know how the crowd was, but I did see on TV. I saw some fans giving Carson Bain a hard time out in the outfield.
I spent a few innings out in their standing room only area there in left field. Whatever they were having a little bit of fun with, but whatever they were doing, he had heard worse.
Yeah.
All weekend, he had heard worse.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty clear on TV with when I think it was in the first inning, that, or it was a deep fly ball to the track, and he made a play, and they were yelling at him during the play, and he kind of looked up at him after the play. They slowed it in slow motion on ESPN. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, we heard it all last year. We heard it a lot last year, too, in the regional. And we went there for a midweek last year as well. But
yeah. And again, I want to go on record. Our good friend Jimmy Touchstone is a Charlotte grad, but comes from a Clemson family. I mean, he has deep, deep roots in Clemson throughout his family, and his boys are going there in the fall. I'm a Charlotte guy, but for the people that really like Clemson, I see why they like it. It's a beautiful area. The campus, the town, it's a college town feel. And every place that we visited a lot of places. I've been to a lot of other places, okay? And I would say that, like, most of them, I don't get it. I don't get it. But Clemson, I get it. I understand why those folks that spend their time there and are connected there love it so much, because their facilities are nice, their area is nice. Right next to the baseball stadium, the softball stadium is you look out in the right field and you look at the clubhouse of the golf course over there, and you look out over left field and you see the biggest thing you see that direction is Dabo World. Out there, the football practice facility, and then of course coming in by Tiger Stadium and all that stuff, and their downtown area, just the region. We spent a lot of time there last summer or last year because of the regional. And even Kevin, we remarked on this show before when we went down there for the midweek. We stopped at a fast food restaurant to grab something on the way in to town. And the people the working in the fast food restaurant were really nice to us, which whoever heard of such a thing,
Yeah. On the way in and on the way out, they were both two different establishments were very nice to us. And let's look at the week ahead. The weekend we got coming up, we've got another home series American Athletic Conference. Series.
Right.
Memphis is coming back. They are an old Conference USA foe. We've played them quite a few times back in the day, but they're making a return to the Hayes. It's been a while for them. They have a new coach, and currently they're ahead of us in the stands, but in the standings.
Mm-hmm.
They have very similar results to us with common opponents. They've won one at a lot of their series, but they've got a good Friday night pitcher that has some success this year. So it's going to be a good conference series this weekend. Definitely one that we could take, and we probably need to take this one.
Yeah, this is an opportunity to get a series win, and we need to. We're certainly capable of it. I don't, Kevin. You've got a better memory about these things than I do, but I don't recall us between Charlotte and Memphis. There was a lot of heat between those fan bases back in the day, back in the old Conference USA. It was mainly centered around basketball. And we didn't have football at the time, so there was definitely no football animosity. I don't recall ever interacting with or having a back and forth, or even I don't recall Memphis ever really getting jazzed up about baseball. Maybe they're out there and I just haven't seen them, but I haven't seen a lot of Memphis fans online talking about their baseball program. Maybe. And I don't remember any heat between the two programs either when we played each other regularly. So I don't know.
They were similar. I guess they were similar to us, and the investment that they were putting in at the time was similar to the investment that we were putting in at the time in baseball. We've obviously invested more since our first our Conference USA days, initial Conference USA days. And it looks like they're starting to invest a little bit in their baseball program, but they had some hard times recently. And I think their coach left Memphis and went to Missouri, I believe. And he was only there 1 or 2 years. And they've got a new coach this year, and he seems like he's doing pretty well for a first-year coach. But we definitely had a basketball back and forth with Calipari. And all that. And, their fan base, speaking of fan bases, their fan base did not want us to join the AC. They did not want us. They did not think that we belong in the same conference as them in any sport. So whenever we beat them in any sport, I'm going to celebrate that because, you know, they think they're because their basketball team went to the Final Four and had it negated that they're better than anyone else.
Yeah, and now their basket that now they have Penny Hardaway running an AAU program with their basketball team. I don't know. I don't have an opinion about Memphis baseball yet, Kevin. I don't know that they pay much attention to it. I certainly hope that the Niners win, but I hope that every weekend, no matter who we're playing. So,
yeah, we do lead the series 15-12, and we swept the last time we played them in our last year in the original Conference USA together. We swept them in Memphis. So, we haven't played them at the Hayes. Never played them at the Hayes. Last time they played them, we played them at home. The old Kannapolis Intimidator Stadium, Bill Chris.
While we were building the Hayes,
right? So, I don't even know if the Hayes. I think we would have conference games out there from time to time. But their first trip to the Hayes should be a good one.
Yeah. So get out there this weekend. Friday's weather looks a little iffy, but Saturday looks great. Saturday there will be if you're in tune with all the programs on campus, you'll know this. But if you're kind of baseball only, just a note: be advised that Saturday is the spring game for football. That's at 7 o'clock. So there will be a lot of people on campus Saturday. Softball plays at 1, baseball at 2, and football spring game is at 7. So if you've been thinking about spending a day on campus, Saturday is a good time to do that. We'll be out there for a tailgate, and we're gonna tailgate baseball probably starting about 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, leading into the 2 o'clock baseball game. We're going to hit the Sioux to see the gals play at 1. Then we're going to do a little more tailgating after baseball before the football spring game. And as always, if you're listening to this, you're watching this, you're welcome. You're welcome to join us. So we're always out there in front of the stadium. So come find us. We shouldn't be too hard to find. So, Big weekend on campus.
Yeah, lots going on. Softball, football, baseball. The benefit of doing the show on Thursday is the game notes have come out already. And then we've announced our starters for the weekend. Reynolds is on Friday, Carson on Saturday, and Stanton on Sunday. So it's a rare occurrence that we announce all three starters. Memphis is TBD on all three, so I'm sure they will have the name slips my mind right now. What is
they've got a Friday guy.
Yeah. What's his name? Anyway, he was conference. It was AAC pitcher of the week a couple weeks back. But they are they've had similar results to us in conference. They had the benefit of playing Rice. They swept Rice. But I think they played South Florida. They played UTSA. And they played FAU. And they won one out of three of those games. So,
yeah.
Similar results to us. And it should be a good series, I think.
Yeah, we just it's a good weekend for us to put it all together and take care of business. It was just a matter of time, I think, before Adam Stanton got that chance to for a start, because he's been pitching really well lately. There's some positive trends here. Cam Hansen, you mentioned him on Tuesday. He's looking more like his old self. Some of the things we've seen from Langhorne have been promising. So it's a good time of year for some guys to start to put stuff together. Because as you pointed out before, Kevin, we have played most of what we have to play as far as the schedule left is our teams from the bottom half of the standing. So starting this weekend, it's a good time for us to make some headway in the standings.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking at Memphis now. They've released their game notes, it looks like. So David Warren is their Friday guy. He was the AAC pitcher of the week April 2nd. So he's been throwing well for them on Fridays. 4-1, 2-0 in the AAC. And he's got a 4.14 ERA. So he's a senior. So he's gonna, well, you know what you're gonna get with him, and so they're gonna be bringing in on Friday. Should be a good matchup at the A's.
Have you seen a promotional schedule, Kevin?
I have not. I was just checked that. I just checked the website. And
Kevin loves the promotional schedule.
Well, yes, I do. I'll say that. So there's a promotional schedule under Fan Zone on our website, on the 49ers website. And baseball does not have anything. So,
nothing for this weekend.
Nothing at all for the whole season.
Oh, well.
So,
Sure, that's just an oversight. Good weekend on campus. Get out Saturday. Come out early. You hang out all day. It's going to be a fun day on campus. This is one of the fun days every year because there'll be so many people out that we sort of see in football season, or maybe in basketball season, and they come out for this that we don't always see during baseball season. So it'll be fun. It's going to be a good weekend. All right, boys. Yeah, it's going to be a good crowd. I think that about does it for us. Appreciate everybody's patience. But we got this in on Thursday night. I had fun. Hope you guys did.
Yeah, it's good. It's always fun talking Niner baseball.
Producer Brad's still awake, so we didn't bore him to sleep or anything like that. So I think we're in good shape. All right, folks. If you've enjoyed this, and we hope you have, consider subscribing. YouTube, Spotify, wherever you're finding this. Spotify is a great place to find this. Audio and video and audio on YouTube. If you subscribe and turn on notifications, you can be notified of new content. And that's the easiest way to keep up with this podcast. If you want to follow Diamond Niner Report on social media, we are on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Just search Diamond Niner Report, and you can find us there generating content all the time. So we appreciate your comments and your feedback. If you're old-fashioned like us, just say hello at the ballpark. We love talking to you folks, and this weekend's a great opportunity to do that. So for Kevin, for producer Brad, this has been Nick saying we will see you at the Haze.